WMFO Medford. Unlike milk, long-distance telephone calls, and library books, there is no due date, tolls, or expiration in the grand hour. Pre-recorded.
This one's about Pete Kelly. It's about the world he goes around in. It's about the big music and the big trouble and the big 20s. So when they ask you, tell them this one's about the blues. Pete Kelly's blues. Pete Kelly's Blues, starring Jack Webb, with story by Joe Eisinger and music by Dick Kettner.
My name's Pete Kelly. I play cornet. You'll find us at 417 Cherry Street, Kansas City, on the Missouri side. It's a standard speakeasy. The slot in the front door is regulation size. Just wide enough to frame a suspicious eye, and the bottoms of the shot glasses aren't quite thick enough to reach the top. It's a well-run, orderly crib, the kind of a place the local prohibition agents can bring their wives to. The lease is owned by George Lupo. He's a fat, friendly little guy who always has his hand in his pocket. We start grinding every night about 10, and we play till Lupo runs out of inventory. But that's all right with us. He lets us play the kind of music we like. And on the breaks, he doesn't care how many nickels we throw into the pianola. Our nickels, his pianola. We were winding up the second set last night when Little Izzy came in. Little Izzy's a cab driver who's been working the joints up and down Cherry Street. He's carted more drunks than Lupo ever counted in his wildest dreams, and once a week he lights a candle to Mr. Volstead. But last night, Little Izzy wasn't hauling a lush. She was a white-haired, gentle old lady, the motherly type that Mary Carr plays in Over the Hill. She looked around the crib nervous and bewildered as Little Izzy eased her down at the small table near the bar. He smiled at her as gently as little as he can smile and started for the bandstand. Hi, Izzy. How's the taxi business?
Yesterday I picked her up, and I've been hauling her ever since, from barrel house to barrel house, from crib to crib. What's she looking for? A girl. What girl? Her daughter. Who's her daughter? A singer. What's her name? June Gould.
June Gould.
You know her? You know this male?
Yeah, she's a beautiful girl. I haven't heard about her for almost a year. She used to sing over at Maury's.
So where's she now? You know, huh? Where's she now?
I don't know.
6-2 and nothing. Every crib we hit, yeah, sure, I remember June Gould, but where is she now? 6-2 and nothing.
Well, look, maybe I can... Look, Izzy, tell the old woman to wait. Maybe I can send up a flare.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Petey boy. I got it.
So good.
All right.
Pete.
Let's go. Yeah, Red.
That June Gould? Beautiful gal?
Yeah.
Ever hear Nails Norton?
Yeah.
Used to torch for her with a 1,000-watt torch.
So?
So she wouldn't give him the coffee that spilled in a saucer.
So?
So I wouldn't go asking around about it.
So let's do the number, huh?
For sure.
All right. Whispering, good and bright. Here we go. Everybody ready? All right.
Thank you.
take five. Use some nickels, huh, Red?
Oh, man, that Lupo, he's going to get rich off us.
Petey, this is Miss Gould.
How do you do, Miss Gould?
Miss Gould, this is Pete Kelly.
Mr. Kelly.
Mr. Kelly here said he'll take care of everything for you, Mrs. Gould.
Well, I didn't exactly say
your
that.
Your worries are over now, Mrs. Gould, so I'll leave you with Mr. Kelly and good luck.
No, Izzy, wait a minute, wait.
Mr. Kelly, I don't know how to thank you. You've given me new hope. I was ready to...
Sure, all right. Now, come on. It's going to be all right, Miss Gould. Don't cry.
Well, I'm sorry. But it's so hard to...
Well, come on now. Let's unglue it. Tell me about it, huh?
Well, my little girl, June, she was always a very beautiful child. We lived alone in Cleveland. Her father died when she was a baby. She always had a lovely voice. She went to... came here to Kansas City to get a start as a singer.
When was this?
2 years ago. Last I heard, she was working in a place called Morris.
Mm-hmm.
She would write to me every week. Always send me a check for support. Oh, she's a good girl, Mr. Kelly. And I'm so worried.
How long haven't you heard from her?
Oh, it's been more than 6-7 months now. No letters. No letters at all. But each week, a money order. But no letter.
Each week you get a money order? From her?
Well, I don't know. There's no letter, no name. Just a money order to support me. And I finally saved enough to come here to look for her.
Yeah, I see.
Oh, I've tried everything, Mr. Kelly.
Yeah. All right, you wait here, Mrs. Gould. I'll buzz around. Maybe I can come back with some answers for you.
And, Mr. Kelly.
Yeah.
I beg you to promise me. No matter what the answers are, you tell me the truth.
Yeah, sure. Well, the way I figured it, I could have told her the truth then without even leaving the joint. But it wasn't easy. Not when you looked into her eyes. But where were the money orders coming from? Well, I had to make a pass at it, so I borrowed Red's Erskine coupe, drove out to the edge of town where Maury's Country Club balanced itself neatly on top of a well-kept hill. Nobody could get into Maury's front door unless he showed a white tie. I got in through the kitchen and made for Maury's private office up on the second floor.
Yes?
Can I buy a minute of your time, Maury?
Come in, Pete. What can I do for you?
You remember a singer who worked for you, June Gould?
Yes. A cigar?
No, thanks.
June Gould. I remember June Gould. Why?
You got an idea where she is now?
Why?
Well, I'm trying to get a line on her.
Why?
For her mother. She's in town looking for her.
I heard.
She see you?
She tried.
You wouldn't see her?
No.
Why not?
I had no information for her.
You got some information for me?
No information. But if you ask me, do I have advice, maybe that I got.
Like what?
Like, stay away from this old lady, Kelly, or maybe you'll never live to be as old as she is.
Yeah, I see. Thanks. Maury?
Yeah?
Is Nails Norton still in town?
You know something, Kelly?
Yeah?
I can't figure how you live to be as old as you.
And that did it. As clearly as he could, Maury was trying to tell me to go back to Lupo's, pick up my horn, and blow myself to a comfortable old age. And I agreed with him. That was the smart thing for me to do. Go back to 417 and forget all about June Gould. So I hustled the Erskine back downtown, cut across the 12th Street Bridge to the Kansas side, jolted down Boulder Road to Fat Annie's place and Maggie Jackson. Maybe more than a few people in town knew what had happened to June Gould, but if there was anybody who knew and who would tell me, it'd be Maggie Jackson. Maggie was just going into a number when I walked in.
You're just in time, Pete. I need some strong support.
Hi, Maggie.
How about helping me through one chorus of What Have I Done?
I didn't bring my horn.
How about Artie Hamilton? He's in the back room. He won't mind. Here.
Well, okay. Wait a minute. You better let me try an A here. It's a little out. Just a minute. Okay, just a second. All right, I guess we can try it.
All right. What Have I Done?
Wish I knew wherever you are.
nice, Petey. Thanks a lot.
Sure, Maggie. Here's Artie's horn. Look, Maggie, I need some information. Maybe you got an open line.
What's bothering you, Petey?
Maggie, you ever hear of a gal named June Gould?
June Gould?
Yeah, she worked over at Maury's over on the hill.
Oh, yeah. Tall, flaming red hair with real green eyes.
Yeah.
And a voice like red velvet. Whatever became of her?
That's what I'm trying to find out, Maggie.
Ain't thought about her in a long time. She just dropped out of sight suddenly, like last year's calendar.
Well, you got any idea? Any idea at all, Maggie? Anything you heard?
No, Petey. Never did know much about that gal. Said she used to bunk with another gal.
Who?
Dancer down at the Cuban casino. Name of Flora Acosta.
Flora Acosta, huh? Thanks, Maggie.
Sure. Good luck, Pete.
Well, the Cuban casino is a minor league trap over in Spanish Town. They deal strictly for the natives who are homesick for their own rhythm. Flora Acosta was just going into her big finish. I folded myself into a corner and waited. Miss Acosta?
Steve?
Can I talk to you for a minute?
What is it?
Well, it's kind of noisy out here.
Well, I'm sorry, but I just...
Look, have you heard from June Gould lately?
Come into my dressing room, please.
All right.
Hello, little bird. Oh, you're such a stuffy little bird. Excuse me, senora. Another costume for my next number.
Sure, it's all right.
Now, tell me, who are you?
Pete Kelly. I play cornet over at 417 Cherry.
Oh, yes. Now I know.
Well, I was told that you used to live with June Gould.
Yeah, that's right.
You know where she is now?
No.
Well, when did you see her last?
Oh, a long time ago. I don't know.
Did she say where she was going?
No. She just pack up and go. Goodbye. Goodbye, Flora, my darling. She stay and she go. That's how she was.
That's how she was?
Si.
Not how she is.
Okay.
Well, you said was, like you don't think she is anymore.
Senor, I'm very sorry. You make too much English for me. Hello, little bird. Such a happy little bird.
Yeah. Do you know any of her boyfriends?
Boyfriends?
Yeah.
Oh, see, she has lots of boyfriends. Also many.
Nails Norton?
Okay.
One of her boyfriends, Nails Norton.
Sorry, senor. You...
Yeah, I know. I make too much English for you.
Well, she has so many boyfriends, it's very confusing.
Did you meet any of them?
Believe me, senor, it's so confusing.
Yeah, do you remember any of her boyfriends?
She packed all her bags and she said, goodbye, Flor. Goodbye, my darling. I'm going to be a bride.
She was going to be married?
See, that's it, married.
Who is he?
Yeah.
The man she was going to marry.
Oh, he's a very rich man. And she loves him very much. And she's so happy. Goodbye, Flor, she said. Goodbye, my darling.
Yeah, I know. Now, what's his name?
His name? Bishop. You have in English a name? Bishop?
Bishop?
See, Tom Bishop. Very rich man.
Do you know where he lives?
In a big house. A very rich house.
The street?
Well, I don't know, but a very rich street.
Yeah, well, thanks.
Senor?
Yeah.
How you come to me with all these questions? You make me very sad, very worried about my friend. You think she's all right?
Sure.
You will please let me know, senor? I would be very sad, very worried about her.
Sure.
Thank you, senor. Hello, little bird. Such a happy little bird.
Well, I left the happy little bird and found me a city directory. Thomas Bishop, Vice President, Grundy Savings Bank and Loan. Residence, 440 North Camberwell. Well, the house was set well back from the street, surrounded by an ornate iron fence and $1 million worth of shrubbery. I made the long trip to the front door on foot, punched the door buzzer.
Yes?
Mr. Bishop?
Yes?
My name's Pete Kelly. Is Mrs. Bishop at home?
What do you want with her?
Her mother's in town.
Her mother?
Yeah, she'd like to see her.
Are you sure you have the right bishop?
You're Thomas Bishop, aren't you?
Yes, but my wife's mother is dead.
You sure?
Of course I'm sure. I buried her.
You buried her?
10 years ago. I'm sorry, young man. You must have the wrong bishop.
No, I got the right bishop, but the wrong wife. What'd you do with June Gould?
Be quiet.
Afraid your wife will hear?
What do you want?
I want to know what happened to June Gould.
Please, Mr. Kelly, not here.
Police headquarters suit you better?
I beg you, come away from the house.
All right. Now, come on, tell me about it.
Mr. Kelly, I assure you...
I don't want assurances. I want information. Where's June Gould?
I don't know.
You were going to marry her?
It was a misunderstanding.
You mean you already had a misunderstanding wife, huh?
June knew I was married, but... We loved each other. We were going to run away.
And what happened?
I don't know.
Now, come on. You're going to have to do better than that.
We decided we'd made all the arrangements, and I never saw her again. I never heard from her. I searched everywhere, tried everything, but without success. Please believe me, Mr. Kelly. I'm telling you the honest truth.
And you never got a line on her? No lead at all?
Nothing. Except a vague rumor that she'd been seen with a man named Maxie Finn.
Maxie Finn? The two-bit bookie?
Yes. I was shocked when I learned what he is. I couldn't believe that she would...
Yeah, leave the great Mr. Bishop for a mouse like Maxie Finn? That's what needled you, huh?
No, Mr. Kelly. I don't blame you for thinking that. But the truth is, I loved her. She was the most beautiful woman I'd ever seen. And for the first time in my life, I... You see, I married when I was very young, calculatingly, to put myself ahead in the world. Well, my marriage gave me what I thought it would, great financial success. But I didn't realize I was only living half a life until I met June.
Yeah. Did you talk to Finn?
No, not directly. But I did have communication with him.
A cautious type, huh?
Yes. But for June Gould to spend the rest of whatever life I have left with her, I was ready to throw away all caution.
You asked Finn about her?
Yes.
What word did he send back?
Only two. Drop dead.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to buy your story, but if it doesn't hang together, I'll be back for another one. Well, I knew where to find Maxie Finn, at the dice table in back of Sartori's garage. I pointed the Erskine for downtown KC. Maybe Bishop's story would hang together, and maybe it wouldn't. Traffic in back of Sartori's garage was heavier than out front. The crap table was getting a big play. I spotted Maxie Finn's pasty face hanging over the one-buck line.
And the number is 5. Make the point or break the joint. And the man throws. Days in the week pass the dice and make some ice. All right, get aboard, boys. Get
Maxie,
aboard.
Yeah.
Get aboard.
I got to talk to you.
I'm on the roll.
And the dice read. Days in the week. 7. The man's down. Pass the dice and make some ice. Everybody wins. Everybody plays. Lay it on the line. We pay it on the line.
Nothing but throw out, though.
All right, let's get over here, Finn. It's important.
What's your problem,
you take
Kelly?
It right or wrong, I go along.
All right, Kelly, I'm on the sock. My arm's cooling off. What's the hustle?
June Gould.
What?
June Gould.
You lost me.
You sent word the bishop dropped dead.
I send you the same.
All right, come on. What happened to June Gould, Maxie?
To me, you read like boxcars. Goodbye, Kelly.
Come here. Now, where is she? All right, come on. What'd you do to her?
Nothing. I see her for maybe a couple of months, that's all.
Why didn't she meet Bishop?
She never said.
Where'd she go after she left you?
I don't know.
But you got a pretty good idea.
You got all I know. All right. Maybe I can get a line. I'll call you. I'll try and I'll call you.
All right. At Lupo's.
Yeah. Yeah, I promise. At Lupo's.
Just to make sure you keep your promise, Maxie. Here's a nickel. If you don't use it, I'll be back to take it away from you. Well, I had to leave it that way. I knew that by pushing Maxie Finn around, I'd started something in motion. There'd have to be a reaction. Back at 417, I found Mrs. Gould right where I'd left her. She looked up at me anxiously as I went over to her table.
Any news, Mr. Kelly?
I'm waiting for word now, Mrs. Gould.
Do you think that...
Mrs. Gould, I don't think. This is the time for waiting. It's the toughest time of all. Where are you stopping?
The Jefferson Hotel.
All right, now look, you go back there.
Oh,
no, don't argue. No, you're sitting in this trap the rest of the night. Get yourself some rest. I'll call you as soon as I get word.
All right, Mr. Kelly. I'll do as you say. Somehow I feel you're the only one who can help me.
All right, Miss Gould. Bye. All right, let's hold it down. Hold it down.
Come on, Petey. Let's get with it. We lost all our business. We're out of nickel.
All right. What's up?
Blues and B flat.
All right, I'll give you the pickup.
Petey.
Yeah.
Nailed Norton. Heading this way.
Yeah.
Kelly.
Yeah?
Come down off of there.
What for?
This. Now you forget all about June Goldstein. Next time I drop you, you won't get up ever.
Well, I pulled myself together from all corners of the joint, raced for the Erskine, walloped it downtown to Sartori's garage. I felt no pain, nothing but a wild, flaming anger. I had all my connections, from Maggie to Floor, to Bishop, to Finn, to Nails. Finn to Nails Norton. Finn kept his promise, all right. He'd used the nickel, but not to call me. The crap game was still hot, but Maxie Finn had lambed. I tore around town and finally caught up with Finn in the back room at Joe Donegan's. He saw me coming, turned a dirty gray, and tried to duck out the back. He never made it. The first word I threw at him was a right from the floor.
All right, Maxie.
Please, Kelly. Stop it, Kelly, stop it.
All right. You called Nails Norton.
I had to.
You told him I'm looking for June Gould. Now, give me the truth.
725 Baltimore.
Louder.
June, 725 Baltimore. The truth, Kelly, the truth. 725, room 6.
All right, Maxie. If you ain't leveling this time, I'll break you in two. .725 Baltimore was only three traffic violations away from Joe Donegan. It wasn't much of a place and never was. I found room 6 on the second floor. I rapped on the door and waited. I rapped again. The door was opened wide. First thing I saw across the room was something propped up in a chair. It was all wrapped up in a quilted bathrobe that the house dog probably refused. Long, lifeless hair straggled down onto the shoulders. It must have been a woman, but I wouldn't swear to it in a court of law. You couldn't tell by the face, a mass of gnarled, scarred tissue, the mouth pulled into a permanent, fixed grin. A bottle of gin was held on a broomstick hand. The first shock over, I looked at the man behind the door. That was the second shock, the one I didn't get over. Nails Norton.
All right, Nails. Tell him to come all the way in.
Go ahead.
You got a strong stomach, Kelly? Because if you ain't, you better look the other way. Nails here. He's got a good, strong stomach, ain't he, Nails?
Yes, June.
Yeah, I'm June. June Gould, the beauty.
Yeah.
Well, you finally found me, Kelly. So take a good look. Something to remember on those long nights when you can't sleep.
What happened?
He wants to know what happened there.
It isn't good for you, dear. Let me take you
out. I'll tell him. Acid. That's what happened.
Who?
Tom Bishop's wife.
But he doesn't know.
Nobody knows. Except his wife, Maxie Finn and Nails. Now you. Yeah. She knew about me and Tom. She came before I could meet him with the acid.
Yeah, but you never did anything to her. Never.
What could I do that would give me back my face? No, let her live with it. Maxie Finn, he found me like that, took care of me. All the while Nails here, he was looking for me. Nails, he always cared for me, didn't he, Nails?
Yes, we did.
Now Nails takes good care of me. Sees that I have everything I need. And all I need is a quarter day. All I need and all I want. Nails is a good boy. He even sends my mother money every week. He's a good boy.
Yeah. She's in Kansas City, your mother.
Yeah, we heard. That's why Nails tried to stop you.
Well, why don't you? You could write to her.
No, letters can be traced.
Yeah, but she's worried sick about you. If you could only let her know.
What? Let her know what? You think I want to let her see me like this? You think she...
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kelly. You found me. Tell her. Bring her to see me. Make the rest of her days happy.
Yeah.
Kelly.
Yeah.
What are you going to do?
Apologize to Maxie Finn.
Thank you. Pete Kelly's Blues, starring Jack Webb, with story by Joe Eisinger and music by Dick Cathcart, scoring by Matty Matlock.
If a natural disaster comes knocking, how prepared is your family? You can't just close the door on earthquakes, floods, or hurricanes and hope they go away. That's why it's important to make a plan now. Ready.gov/plan has the tools and tips you need to prepare your family for an emergency. So if disaster shows up at your doorstep, you'll be ready. Visit ready.gov/plan and make a plan today. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Thank you, lads, and thank you, Ad Council, for that FCC obligation. Good morning. It's the 4th of August, 2021. In the first half of the program, we heard Pete Kelly's Blues as we continue on with featuring Jack Webb. That was called June Gould, with an original air date of the 12th of September, 1951. Pete Kelly Blues was a fill-in show over the summer for the Halls of Ivy when Dragnet was on hiatus. My name is Arthur, and you're listening to The Grand Hour here on 91.FM and or WMFO.org, Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. For the second half of the program, I'm going to play another drama Jack Webb starred in called Jeff Regan. This was The Man with the Key, with an original air date of the 2nd of October, 1948. Thanks for listening.
My name's Jeff Regan. I get 10 a day in expenses from a detective bureau run by a guy named Anthony J. Lyon. They call me the Lion's Eye.
With Jack Webb as Jeff Regan, investigator, stand by for hard-boiled action and mystery and thrilling adventure in tonight's story of The Man with the Key.
A block above Wilton on Hollywood Boulevard, there's a street they call Taft. It isn't very long. About 48 palm trees and a couple of bad sewers. It figures that the guy who laid it was nearsighted. He didn't see the hills three blocks away. Got kind of a tired look, like an old lady who's been moving furniture. There's a dirty gray apartment house on the right-hand side of the street. That's my place. 308. A low ceiling and a leaky faucet, a telephone that rings at the wrong time. It was last Monday night, about 11 o'clock. I was in bed listening to the party next door when it rang. It was the Lion.
Regan, get your clothes on.
That the way you sleep?
You're going to be busy. We got a new client.
Well, tell me all about it in the morning.
Special messenger came to my place 15 minutes ago with a C note.
Any good?
It was from somebody named Dora King.
Who's that?
That's what you're going to find out.
I can see better in the daytime.
She's waiting for you right now.
Oh, yeah.
At a place on La Brea called The Southerner.
Should I take my banjo?
Don't be funny. She wants to talk to you, so get over there.
Well, what does she want to talk about?
How would I know?
Well, don't you ever check into things?
That's what I pay you for.
All right, where's last week's salary?
You'll get it.
When?
As soon as I find out if your expenses were legit. Now get busy.
That all?
No, call me right after you've seen her.
Why?
I want to know what's what.
You mean you want to know if she can afford more than a C note?
You're getting out of line.
That's what they told Gypsy Rose Lee. Well, I got over there about 11:30. Turned out to be a small place, long on the shadows and short on the whiskey. There was a bald-headed guy playing a piano in one corner. I guess he'd been inside for a long time, because he'd never been out for a music lesson. The bartender was the only other guy in the joint. His name couldn't have been Dora King. So I went to work on a straight shot and waited. Two drinks later, a girl in a black dress walked in. She took in the piano player and the bartender and me. I won. She started toward me with a slow, easy kind of a walk, like a panther looking for breakfast. When she oozed onto the stool beside me, the bartender got damp all over. The air conditioning wasn't doing him any good.
What'll it be, miss?
Make it the same as here.
Okay, bourbon and water.
Got a match?
Yeah.
Got a cigarette?
Mm-hmm.
Got a name?
Maybe.
I'll bet it's Regan.
All right, you got that much.
My name's Dora King. I'm sorry I'm late.
You ever on time when you meet a guy?
No.
Your money, you can spend it any way you want.
You always this nice to customers.
I don't get paid to be nice.
What do you get paid for?
Have you got a story?
I haven't had my drink yet.
Hey, you!
Coming up. I'm jet propelled. Here you are, miss. Hey, hot night, ain't it?
You waiting for the weather to change?
It ain't gonna change in here, brother.
What's your first name?
Jeff.
I don't like it.
Neither do I.
I'm going to call you Regan.
All right, let's start calling.
Have you got a license?
Covers up a hole in my wall.
Have you got something that says you're what you say you are?
All right, here.
The lion's eye. 6 feet, 170. Brown eyes. You fit?
Yeah, I got a mole on my left shoulder.
Let me see you. You pass.
Okay, you won the toss. Let's kick off.
Well, this isn't where we play. We'll go in my car.
Where?
You'll find out when you get there.
Maybe I won't like the field.
You trust me, don't you?
No.
Good.
Fill her up again?
We're just leaving.
Floor show starts in a couple of minutes.
That piano player going to be in it?
Yeah, he's my brother. He's going to play something he wrote himself.
Any good?
Stinks. Maybe you better go.
Well, the bartender was pouring himself four fingers of rye and about a fingernail of water when we walked out of there. We climbed into a big Nash convertible, parked in front of the place, and headed for Santa Monica Boulevard. Then we turned east, past Western, down to Vermont, and south to Marathon. All at once, we were climbing a hill on a dark street that gave us a view of the city. 20 years ago, a real estate broker might have had something, but now it was just an old neighborhood with a sad look, like a toe dancer with a short leg. Nobody said anything, and I was beginning to have a feeling that maybe she'd forgot her compass when she slowed the car down. She pointed to a two-story house in the middle of the block, and I nodded. Then she shoved the car in second, spun around the corner, and came to a stop. I got out and walked around to let her out. She didn't move.
End of the line.
Short fare.
Time for you to go to work.
What kind of work?
The white place back there, 3936. You saw it?
It came through.
It's a boarding house.
I already got a room.
On the second floor, number 10. Knock twice.
Prohibition's dead, lady.
There's a man there. His name's Bender. Ben Bender.
That'll wake him up.
He's expecting you.
You're quitting?
My job's finished. You're the new help.
Well, what do I do?
He'll tell you.
That all?
One thing more. Come here.
Part of my fee?
That's extra.
I don't generally get tipped.
Just for luck.
You act like I'm going to need lots of it.
You are.
When do I see you again?
You don't. Goodbye, gorgeous.
I stood there and watched her drive away. And then I noticed it. Somebody in a black coupe coasted around the corner, kicked into high gear at the bottom of the hill. I kept watching, but whoever it was hadn't read the traffic laws lately. He didn't use his lights for two blocks. Oh, it registered. He was on a tail job. And Dora was nice to tail. Marathon. Inside, it smelled like stale beer and rotting wood. Room number 10 was at the top of the stairs. The door was already open. A thin guy with a hungry look was sitting on the edge of the bed. He was all bones. He didn't get up when I came in.
just kind of looked at me, and his eyes were full of water. All of a sudden, he pulled a bandana out of his pocket and began coughing. You're sitting in a draft.
All my life. You Regan?
A girl with warm lips said I'd find you here.
Thanks for coming. Sit down. Hey, just got back from a trip.
Up north?
Yeah.
Sanitarium?
State said I needed a cure.
Did it take?
What do you think?
You're still coughing.
The doctor said I could go. Even give me a going-away present. $10 and a suit of clothes. It was a bum rap.
That's what they all say.
Who I am?
Ben Bender.
Big Ben Bender. Huh? Does that mean anything to you, Pilgrim?
Must have been before my time.
Yeah? How old do you think I am?
I'm out of practice.
I look 60. And I'm 45. That's what 7 years in the sanitarium will do.
You ought to get a specialist.
Already got one.
What's his name?
You.
No, I'm only an intern.
You'll do.
All right, what do you want?
When the guy goes up there, he makes a lot of friends. And a lot of enemies. Sometimes you can't tell one from the other.
Does it make any difference?
Big Ben don't trust nobody.
No, what about that girl?
Dora? Forget her. Her job's done.
That's what she said.
See this key?
Yeah.
I wear it around my neck. I worn it for 7 years. You'll wear it for the next 7 hours.
Why?
Them friends and enemies I was telling you about.
What does the key fit?
My safety deposit box at the American Security Bank. You meet me there. Tomorrow, the 10th.
What if I oversleep?
Stay up all night. I'll pay for the no-doze. Just be there.
After that?
And your job's finished. Soft as dough you ever made.
Look, now you kept this key 7 years. Why can't you keep it for 7 more hours?
My business.
What's in the box?
My business.
Okay. Any of those friends or enemies drive a black coupe, white sidewalls?
I don't know. Why?
My business. I left him sitting there. He looked as happy as a sword swallower with the hiccups. Well, I put the key in my coat pocket, but it felt hot, like a dynamite stick with a short fuse. If Big Ben had been holding it for so long, somebody else might want it. Maybe somebody who drove that black coupe. Well, I went out the back entrance, walked down an alley, and doubled over 5 blocks to Vermont. I stopped a cab, and I had him take me over to the Lion's place. It was 2:30 in the morning when he opened the front door. He was wrapped in a bathrobe big enough to keep all the silkworms working overtime.
What do you want, Regan?
Information.
You've been drinking?
I've been working.
What kind of work?
Well, I got a key.
That all?
That's what they say.
Who's they?
A con named Bender.
Ben Bender?
That's right.
I thought he was doing a long run up in Quentin.
Well, he's out now.
Where does Dora King fit?
Taxi service. She took me to Bender. He gave me the key.
Let me see it.
All right, here.
Safety deposit box.
That's right. Nurse made to a hunk of metal until tomorrow at 10.
What then?
Well, I meet him at the American Security Bank and turn it over to him.
Well, do it.
Now, look, Big Shot, this key's hot.
What makes it hot?
Whatever's in that box.
What's that?
How should I know?
Find out. You got the key.
You got the client.
Now, just a minute.
Somebody waves a greenback at you and you think it's a rainbow.
That's enough.
Oh, stop it, will you? It's another bum client and you know it.
Let me worry about that.
If Ben held that key for 7 years and won't hold it now, he's scared.
What's he got to be scared of?
Somebody else who wants in on the
play. So what?
I'm holding the key. That makes me the clay pigeon.
You're getting paid for it. Just be there tomorrow at 10. Alive.
Well, I left the Lion and went out to the street. Nobody was there. I hailed a cab and he let me off in front of my place. Nobody was there. I opened the front door of my apartment. Nobody was there. It began to feel like a good bet for the Lonely Hearts Club. It was a good feeling. I sat up all that night waiting. Nothing happened. I felt about as popular as a bald-headed chorus girl. Nobody made a play. It was 5 minutes to ten when I pulled into the parking lot next to the American Security Bank. The car next to me was a black coupe with white sidewalls. It could have been the same one that tailed us the night before. But then I figured there's a lot of cars in L.A. like that. But I leaned in and I looked at the registration. This one belonged to a guy named Al Spandy, who lived in Van Nuys. I wrote the address down and walked into the bank. The guard in a blue uniform waved me downstairs to the safety deposit boxes. It was 10, and still nothing happened. I began to feel kind of relieved, like a flagpole sitter when the wind died down. Big Ben hadn't showed yet. The only one there was a blonde sitting in a glass cage in front of the vaults. She looked at me, and I began to wonder what she did on her days off.
Good morning. May I help you?
Yeah, I want to see if the rent on my box has been paid. Here's the key.
Mm-hmm. 60B. Just a minute. I'll take a look. 60B. 60B's all paid for.
Well, I guess my partner must have taken care of it.
This isn't a joint box. You're the only one who can get into it, Mr. Bender. Would you like to go in now?
No, I'm waiting for somebody.
We're all waiting for somebody.
I'm waiting for a man.
So am I.
Been waiting long?
Years.
Here?
Yes.
Better places to wait.
The ones with money keep coming here. My name's Claire.
I'll remember that.
Will you remember this? Granite 3408.
I'll try it on my phone.
When?
As soon as I get a spare nickel.
I'll give you one.
Well, you'll run out of them that way.
Uh-uh. That's why I work in a bank.
Kind of hard on the depositors.
Your friend's late, isn't he?
I can wait.
Maybe he forgot. He should have tied a string around his finger.
No, lady. He already had one around his neck. Well, she went back to copping nickels, and I sat down in one of the plush chairs and waited. 10:30 came, 11 came, Benda didn't. I began to get an uneasy feeling, like a bubble dancer with a slow leak. At 11:10, I couldn't take any more waiting, so I left to head for Benda's place. Outside the bank, a thin guy with a sharp head was hawking papers. I slipped him the nickel that the blonde had given me, and he handed me a Daily News. I wanted to see what a horse named Larry R. had done at Belmont, but I didn't get beyond the first page. Benda's picture was there, right next to Governor Dewey's, only Ben wasn't running for office. They found him in his room full of bullet holes. I guess he finally got a cure for that cough. I took my car out of the lot and headed for home. I mixed myself a tall one, and I was just getting to the bottom of it when a couple of guys kicked my door open.
Regan?
Yeah.
I'm Lieutenant Anderson, homicide. This is Sergeant Pennelly.
Hi.
Don't you guys believe in knocking?
My knuckles are sore. Nice stuff.
Well, help yourself. It's out in the kitchen.
Don't drink on the job.
Pennelly?
Me neither.
Boy should have told me you were coming. I'd have called some girls.
Not done a job.
Benelli?
I got a wife.
All right, Regan, find your hat.
What for?
Well, you want to look nice. We're going downtown, you and me and Pete. Right, Pete?
Right, Andy.
No, it's too hot there.
We thought of that. We'll give you a nice, cool place, won't we, Pete?
Sure will, Andy.
You got a warrant?
No, we just figured you might want to tell us why you did it.
Did what?
Tell him, Pete.
Knock off Ben Bender and burn his feet.
You're out of your mind.
Now, Regan, we know you saw Bender last night. We know you got out of a car on the corner and walked up to his place. We know you were the last one to see him while he was still alive.
You got a witness?
Pretty one. A girl told us.
Oh, you're trying real hard, Anderson, but you haven't got anything.
If you were the last one to see him alive, you're the first one to see him dead. That's how we figured.
Did you figure on a guy named Al Spandy who drives a black coupe?
I never heard of him.
And how about a dozen other hoods who knew Bender?
Now you're trying hard, Regan.
You haven't even got a foundation.
We got the whole building.
It'll never stand up.
We'll see.
All right, you tell me why I did it.
You private eyes get folders on bank jobs.
I get them from Charles Atlas, too.
Bender was in on an $80,000 heist 8 years ago. He went up for carrying a concealed weapon, but the money was never found. You know that the Imperial Bonding Company's offering $5,000 for the recovery of that dough.
The lion.
Don't make any dates tonight. You're not going to be available.
All right. The lion will tell you I was working on a case when I saw Bender.
Oh, we already talked to the lion.
Well, what did he say?
He says he hasn't seen you for 5 days.
You are listening to the story of the man with the key, tonight's adventure with Jeff Regan, investigator. And now back to the story of the man with the key and Jeff Regan, investigator.
Well, I had about as much chance as a violin player with no chin. Anderson and Pennelly took me down and locked me in one of the rooms upstairs. They didn't ask any questions. I guess they figured they had enough answers. Oh, it was a real nice fix. A dame named Dora King takes me to a con named Ben Bender. He slips me a hot key and says, meet him in a bank at 10. I'm there on time, getting the phone number of a blonde named Claire, only Ben doesn't show. Somebody burns his feet and fogs him before he can keep the date. And then there's that black coupe registered to a question mark named Al Spandy. And then the lion deals one from the bottom. Oh, it was a screwy picture, and I was right in the middle of the frame. Well, I spent the next 4 hours taking in some free entertainment from the drunk in the next cell.
Okay, Regan, on your feet.
Bastille Day?
You're sprung.
Well, I was getting tired of the floor show anyway.
Try and make it Saturday sometimes. That's our big night.
Hard if I bring a date? That guy ought to be at Ciro's.
Where do you think we picked him up?
Regan, I'm running out of patience with you. How many times have I told you to keep out of trouble?
Why didn't you tell him I was working on a case?
I went to a lot of trouble to get you out.
And you went to a lot of trouble to get me in.
That was easy. Still got that key to Bender's safety deposit box?
I got it.
Tomorrow morning at 10, you're at that bank getting into the box.
You're crazy. It's in Bender's name.
I'll teach you how to spell it.
I won't do it.
Homicide might like to know you got that key. Now you listen to me and we'll both make dough.
Where I'd be, I couldn't spend it.
If the 80,000 bucks from the bank job Bender pulled happens to be in that box, like I think it is, Imperial Bonding owes us $5,000 reward.
I don't like it.
You owe it to the company.
Now listen, you. Bender was knocked off for this key. Whoever wants it might make another try.
Nobody knows you got it.
Well, I'll give it to you and nobody will know you got it.
Regan, I'm giving you a chance to straighten yourself out.
That's right.
What do you mean?
I feel stiff already. Well, it was a triple play. Homicide to the lion to the black coupe. I went home to wash off some of the jailhouse Lysol. When I walked in the front door, I had company. A gray flannel suit with a yellow tie was sitting on the edge of my bed. Both hands were full. The whiskey was mine. The gun was his. When he saw me, he set down the bottle and walked over and put the gun right against my neck. It felt cold, and I got kind of nervous, like a hula dancer in a forest fire.
Hiya, Regan. Been waiting for you.
You like my liquor?
I'm a rye drinker myself.
Well, bring your own next time.
That ain't being sociable.
You weren't invited.
How could I have been? You don't even know me.
You're Al Spandy. You drive a black coupe.
What'd I have for breakfast?
Egg, and it's all over your tie.
You look hot, Regan.
You have to hold that gun there.
Right there.
Same one you used on Bender?
The same. All right, now gimme, Regan.
I told you, I don't have any rye.
Where's the key?
I don't use one. My door's always open.
I'm talking about that key you got from Bender.
I don't have it.
Do you hear any music?
Yeah, but I'll sit the next one out.
No, you won't. This is a men's cheat.
I'll step on your toes.
I don't mind. It's a polka, and I want to do it with you.
Oh, it was a long dance, but Spandy didn't get tired. I knew I wasn't going to last the evening out. And then I saw Dora King standing in the doorway back to Spandy. She was taking everything in like a Hoover vacuum cleaner on a dirty rug. She had a .25 in her hand and she knew how to use it. Thanks for cutting in, lady.
I had to do it. He was killing you.
Yeah, I'll take the gun, huh?
You know I'd have to do it.
Yeah. Here. Go on, drink it.
Yes.
Now, you want to tell me all about it?
Yes. I wanted to tell you at first, but Ben wouldn't let me.
He's not around to stop you.
Do you think Spandy hurt him much before he killed him?
I wasn't there.
He was sick. He couldn't have taken much.
Why'd you tip the cops on me?
I thought you might have done it. Now I know different.
Tell that to Homicide.
I will.
You better. Spandy can't.
He's dead?
That's right.
You still don't trust me.
No, I don't.
I couldn't help myself once the gun went off. Big Ben was my father.
Yeah?
He didn't want anyone to know. All he wanted was to give me a break.
Why'd he hire me?
He was afraid.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Regan?
Yeah?
May I have the key?
I haven't got it.
You can get it.
Maybe. You know what's in that box?
I think so.
Or why don't I turn it over to the police?
That's my job. Like I told you, I'm Big Ben's daughter.
Yeah, lady. You convinced Spandy. Well, I called Homicide, and Anderson and Pinelli handled it. We all wound up downtown. It didn't take them long to find out that the gun Spandy used on me was the same one that killed Big Ben. Dora gave Anderson her story. He said it would take some fixing, but he could keep her out of the papers. It was justifiable homicide. She wouldn't even be indicted, but they had to hold her overnight. Well, it was almost daylight when I pulled to a stop in front of my apartment. I was beginning to feel a little better, but it didn't last long. When I walked into my place, it looked like the L.A. Dons had been having a scrimmage. Every corner had been gone over. Oh, it didn't make sense. Benda was dead, Spandy was dead, Dora King was downtown, but somebody still wanted that key. Well, I crawled into what was left of my bed and set the alarm for 9:30. I didn't sleep much. I kept seeing keys and faces and $80,000 bills. Ten o'clock the next morning, Granite 3408 was still sitting behind the same desk near the same safety deposit vault. She gave me the same look.
I waited for you to call last night.
I spent the nickel.
On a doctor?
I'd like to get into my box.
All right, Mr. Bender, sign here.
All right. There you are.
This way.
Looks like part of the new freeway.
One thing about a vault, it's quiet.
So is a tomb.
We're alone.
Yeah.
Well?
All right, sunshine, open your eyes. My box number is 60B.
That can wait, I can't.
Easy, baby, you'll set off the alarm.
You and I can make a great team, Benda.
You know my name's not Benda.
What is it?
Regan.
You and I can make a great team, Regan.
Is that what you told Al Spandy?
Why bring up a dead issue?
What's your deal?
You got Bender's key, I got the bank's key. You need both of them to open up the box.
It's good so far. Go on.
Well, there's $80,000 there. Let's not let it go to waste.
Big Ben waited 7 years to open that box. Look what happened to him.
I waited just as long as Ben. And 7 years is harder on a girl.
How'd you work it?
Ben and I had a great plan. I was the cashier Ben heisted. Only I just gave him a bag full of paper. The real dough's in his box.
Well, that's the safest way. Keep your money in a bank.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When it cooled off, both of you go in and pick up the dough together.
That's the way it was supposed to work, only Ben was dumb enough to get himself picked up and tucked away for 7 years.
Oh, you made real good partners. Nobody trusted anybody.
I trust you.
That why you went through my place looking for the key last night?
Girls got to use their head. Besides, you might have been home.
Ben and Spandy are dead.
We don't have to worry about either of them. The money's still here. We got the keys that'll open the box. Can you add that?
Yeah.
What's the answer?
About 20 years.
What do you mean?
That bonding company will see that you get the full load for grand larceny.
You wouldn't turn me in.
Don't make book on that.
You and I'd make a great team, Regan. We can't lose.
That's what USC thought. Well, I called Anderson and Pinelli, and they came out and picked her up. I rode down as far as the office with him. That wrapped it up. When I told the lion what had happened, he was as happy as a college boy in a harem. He got on the phone right away and called up Imperial Bonding, told him to make out that reward check for 5 G's to Anthony J. Lyon. But he was real good about it. He took me for a ride in his new Nash convertible. Well, I guess he deserved it. He was really the patsy that had done all the heavy work ever since he bailed me out of jail. Because that's when I slipped Bender's key in his pocket.
Jack Webb is featured as Jeff Regan, with Herb Butterfield as Anthony J. Lyon. Jeff Regan, Investigator, written by E. Jack Newman and Larry Roman, produced by Sterling Tracy, is heard each week at this time over CBS. Tonight's cast included Ken Christie, Yvonne Patey, Marvin Miller, Paul Frees, and June Martell.
Weird. Jeff Regan, The Man with the Key, with an original air date of the 2nd of October, 1948, starring Jack Webb, which I've been featuring here the last few weeks, several weeks here on the Grand Hour. My name is Arthur, and you've been listening to 91.5 FM and or WMFO.org, Medford, Tufts Freeform Radio. This show was pre-recorded. Thanks for listening.
COVID-19, WMFO DJs are pre-recording their shows for broadcast on air. We can still accept phone calls, but the phone line is in voicemail mode. Call 855-915-9636 and be sure to leave the DJ's name in the voicemail so we can forward it to the correct person. The following program was recorded earlier. Enjoy.